Did you know that it takes 10 compliments to undo one criticism? Research on how our brains and nervous systems are wired reveals that human beings have a negativity bias. We pay much more attention to bad things and easily overlook the good. Evolutionarily, this makes sense. A long time ago, humans needed those instincts for survival. The ability to quickly assess danger meant the difference between life and death. And even though most of us don't encounter lions and tigers and bears anymore going about our daily business, the bad stuff that comes at us and around us, news of war abroad, crime in our city, strained relationships with family or coworkers or friends, feels so much bigger and more consequential than anything good. And if we're not careful, we can forget that there is a difference between this being part of the truth and this being the only truth we see. When I was a teenager, there was a particular kind of optical illusion that became really popular. It was like poster prints we would hang on the wall, because this was, you know, from a bygone era before we all walked around with screens in our pockets. But they looked like computerized Jackson Pollock paintings. But if you looked really closely at them and you kind of blurred your vision just right, if you got lucky, an image would start to appear. It would sort of start to emerge. Your eyes would start to see a three-dimensional image hidden in the two-dimensional image in front of you. And once you saw it, you couldn't unsee it, really, or at least you could much more easily refocus your eyes to see that three-dimensional image again. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just out of curiosity, some of you are raising your hand. Okay, thank God. And the thing about those images was that it was really hard, especially at first, to see that three-dimensional image. You had to trick your eyes into seeing something that was obscured by the more obvious splatters of color in front of you. Now, some people would only see the two-dimensional image. They would stand in front of the image and squinting and straining, trying to see the number or the unicorn or the boat or whatever it is that was supposed to appear in 3D, squeezing every ounce of concentration, like when you're all alone after seeing Star Wars for the first time and you secretly try to use the Force to get that pen into your hand from across the room. And then they would throw their hands up in the air and go, "I don't see it." Our brain has a bias, and you had to work hard to override that bias to see something much richer and more deeply embedded. The holy days that we walk this week leading up to this Easter moment take us through a lot of suffering and death. You have to work spiritually hard to stick with it and get to the good news. There's a whole week of trial and tribulation that leads up to this day of glory. And there's a good reason that we begin the Easter Vigil, the first proclamation of the resurrection, in the dark. There's a reason we begin by lighting a fire in the dark, with prayers and chants that remind us this is the night when Christ broke the bonds of death and hell and rose victorious from the grave. There's a reason we tell and retell the story of God's saving work throughout history, and why we renew our baptismal vows as part of the ritual of eventually proclaiming the joy of resurrection, all in the dark. Because the darkness of the tomb, the darkness of hell, is where the Easter story begins. We tell the story of God's saving work in the dark because we acknowledge that in many ways, this is our earthly reality. We can easily be given over to our negativity bias, to seeing the world in the darkness of two dimensions, and we can forget that what's in front of us is not the whole picture. We can easily think that the truth of what's bad is the only truth there is. So if we don't tell these stories over and over again, if we don't renew our commitment to our faith, if we don't rekindle the fire of God's saving love in our midst, we see only in part and not in whole. We so deeply long for resurrection, for good news, for the victory of life over death. And this is why we need this ritual. This is the night we proclaim resurrection out of darkness. Ringing these bells and proclaiming these alleluias, it's not wishful thinking, and it's not blind optimism. We proclaim alleluia even at the grave, as our funeral liturgy so beautifully reminds us. There is such a thin place between death and life in our tradition. And we enter that thin place by telling these stories, lighting this fire, re-entering the waters of baptism, reminding ourselves of what we need to know and remember to stay grounded in God. Able to see the world in three dimensions, strengthened to see past our bias, and to know that as much as it is true that things and people can be truly evil and awful, it is also true that Jesus shows us the way that leads to victory over evil and death. Not that we sit back and wait for God to do it for us. No, this is the night we are invited into the resurrection of Jesus. It's not substitution, it's participation. God doesn't see the world in 3D for us. We now put on the glasses. We now put on the eyes and the ears and the heart of Christ. And we are invited into that very same life. There's a beautiful quote from Saint Epiphanius, who was a bishop of Cyprus from the early fifth century, in his Easter Vigil sermon. So from 1700 years ago, 1600 years ago, we hear this invitation. Rise, let us leave this place. The enemy led you out of the earthly paradise. I will not restore you to that paradise, but I will enthrone you in heaven. I forbade you the tree that was only a symbol of life, but see, I who am life itself am now one with you. I appointed cherubim to guard you as servants are guarded, but now I make them worship you as God. The throne formed by cherubim awaits you, its bearers swift and eager. The bridal chamber is adorned, the banquet is ready, the eternal dwelling places are prepared, the treasure houses of all good things lie open. The kingdom of heaven has been prepared for you from all eternity. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.